King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits and whose width was 6 cubits. He set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said to the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers and the justices, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces, to assemble and come to the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. When they were standing before the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, accordingly, at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, the entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the golden statue, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, and the entire musical ensemble, to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. If you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the god that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up.
Thank you very much. It was interesting, one of the songs that we just sang talk about praying for fire to come down. And the persecuted church pray for this country. They pray for this country a lot because they're very concerned for us. But their prayer that fire might come down is not that we should have some glowing experience. They actually pray that we would know persecution. Because they see persecution as a way of drawing near to Jesus. Because they see that we are in danger of being too comfortable. I think it is coming. There was a case this week where someone stood outside an abortion clinic with a verse from the Bible and was convicted by a magistrate. So it is beginning to build in this country. So when you pray these prayers, when we sing these songs and pray these prayers about fire coming down, we need to be aware of just what we're praying and singing. Just a matter of interest, how many of you know about Open Doors? Great, that's most people. Okay, so Open Doors, the charity, started 70 years ago by a guy called Brother Andrew. He smuggled Bibles into the Soviet Union. And ever since then, they produced information about the persecuted church. For the last 40 years, they produced what is called the World Watch List, which tells the story, if you like, of what's happening in the world. And we're going to watch a couple of videos. First one is a very brief video about the World Watch List for this year. Okay.
Could praying put you in danger? Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the five countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number 5, Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Salah is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number four is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number three on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number two, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number one, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Jiho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's one in seven Christians globally. And every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ. And with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
Thank you. We'll pick up a bit on some of those stories in a moment. But it's not getting any easier to be a Christian out there. Last year, 365 million Christians. That's one in seven Christians with persecution. Last year, 15,000 churches were attacked or closed. A couple of years ago, that figure was 2,000. Last year, 15,000. 3,000 people detained without trial, up 6%. 17 million Christians displaced in Africa. Figures are just too big for us to really understand, aren't they? It's a great story, isn't it? The story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and all the musicians and all the people that are there. They're in a square. Thousands stand in front of a giant idol of the leader. Watching over them is the big leader. At the given command, they all bow down to the one they know as a god. And if you don't, you're in trouble. Spies are everywhere. Here, they didn't bow down. Your colleagues betray you for not worshipping. If you're caught, the punishment is death. But we're not actually talking about Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. We're actually talking about North Korea. Because that is exactly the same situation in North Korea. They may not have a fiery furnace, but they have labor camps where your outlook is not positive. In Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, there are two bronze statues. One of the present president, Kim Jong, and one of his father, King Song. They're worshipped by God. People bow down. We saw on the video, people bow down and worshipping them. Everywhere you go, you're spied upon to see you are a Christian. And yet, the church is growing. See, persecution is part of the normal Christian life, according to the Bible. So most of us in the West are not living a normal Christian life because we're not being persecuted enough. It's interesting, it says this in 2 Timothy. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what's happening today. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of it, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancies you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's interesting, Paul links together persecution and the word. It follows on to that verse that you know, probably know about all Scripture being God-breathed. That's why the Bible is so important. That's why Jehu's father was willing to risk his life to have a good book hidden in his garden. Thessalonica, Paul writes to them, he says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. When Paul went to Thessalonica, when he first arrived, he stayed at a house called a guy called Jason. Jason ended up being arrested. Paul went on. See, it was tough right from the beginning in Thessalonica, part of their life. And yet here Paul says, look, they're doing really well because they're surviving. So let's just pick up a bit more on Jinhu's story. This is a compilation, if you like, of situations in North Korea. So watch the second video.
I had just come home from school the day the police came to our home. They tore our house apart. They were looking for two things: the radio and my father's secret book. I didn't know what the book was, but I knew that it was dangerous. And I knew, when the police found it, that I'd never see my father again.
In North Korea, Christians can be arrested and even killed just for owning a Bible. That's why Jiho's father kept his buried in the garden and didn't even tell her what it really was. But he did used to read her stories and sayings from his secret book.
When salt loses its taste, what good is it? People are like salt. If we lose our kindness for others, we lose our humanity. Always keep your saltiness.
Jiho knew that her father used to tune into his illegal radio to pick up foreign broadcasts about how to get extra food. Years later, when Jiho needed food, she decided to try to do the same.
Usually, I only heard weather reports or news from countries I'd never heard of. Sometimes I heard about a food shortage in our country, but there was no information about where to get food. But one day, I heard something else, something that changed my life.
You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, what good is it?
That's the day I first heard about Jesus, the God of my father. From then on, I listened every chance I got. And as I listened, I began to believe.
Open Doors operates a radio ministry that reaches thousands of secret believers in North Korea. Jiho doesn't know of any other Christians, but through the radio programs, she can learn more about Jesus. And to show her kindness, her saltiness to her neighbours, she now shares what little food she has with them.
I don't know where these radio broadcasts come from or why I can hear them, but I hope that whoever is sending them in knows how much it's changed my life. Things are so hard in North Korea, and God offers so much hope. Even though following Jesus is so dangerous, it's worth the risk.
In North Korea, the challenge is no different to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning and fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, we will not serve gods or worship the golden image that we have set up. Jehu says, even though following Jesus is dangerous, it's worth the risk. North Korea is number one on the list. It's the worst place in the world to be a Christian. Not only is it very difficult being a Christian, it's very difficult even to live there. That's 1 kilo of food. It costs 1 month's wages to buy 1 kilo of food in North Korea. Just think about that. You probably get maybe one meal a day out of 1 kilo for one person, let alone a whole family. So everybody out in the country is hungry all the time, much worse in the labour camps. Open Doors supports about 100,000 people, Christians, either in North Korea or in China, in places like safe houses. But it's very difficult because China has closed the border, North Korea closed the border. So where they used to be able to smuggle stuff across the border very easily, food, aid, Bibles, it's much more difficult now. The only way they do it, they say, is we pray and God does miracles. But they not only rely on their own prayers, they also rely on Mars. To the north of North Korea is China. It's actually down at 19 because their control of Christians is much more subtle. It appears to be okay, but all the time they're actually wearing down the Christians. And it's increasing the amount of control. Through their central bank, digital currency, their social credit system, they know where you are. Are you a good citizen? And if you were found out to be a Christian, that would take you down, your credit rating down. And so you wouldn't be able to do things like travel, move around. You have to do it illegally. And China is expanding that across the world. They spent £1 billion putting that into Africa in the last year. They're training Africa to be like China, to be controlled. And with that, we'll become a control of the Christians. Last year, there was somebody from South Korea, out of North Korea. She was in North Korea, transferred to South Korea. She came over at the end of last year, and she was talking about her view of the world and how different it is from ours. And she said this, everything is under the control of God, who watches over the whole world. In persecution, Jesus is all you have, and you discover that he is all you need. When you give your life to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, whether that's alive or whether that's dead. See, they have a different mindset to us. They're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It doesn't matter what happens. We will believe. We will not worship the idol. Well, that's a golden idol or things in our lives that get in the way. But of course, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego doesn't end up with them just being in the furnace, does it? Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and said to his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we put into the furnace? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Must be a bit worried about this point. He said, look, I see 4 men, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servant of the Most High God, come out, come here. And we know they weren't even tainted by smoke. So wherever there is persecution, there is Jesus. In persecution, Jesus is all you have, and you discover that he is all you need because he walks with them in their situation. Yemen, we mentioned very briefly the story of Salah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seemed mad. Why would you do that? They knew the furnace was there, but they had the courage to stand, the tale of courage. So this is in Yemen, Very difficult country, again, in turmoil. Very few Christians, and those that are Muslim background believer converts. After becoming a Christian, Salah and his friend regularly shared Jesus outside their local mosque. Well, that's asking for trouble. An incredible thing to do. An illegal act which could have led to the death penalty. His friend became known as crazy guys. But they also became known as people who knew Jesus. He travels now in and out of Yemen. He can't stay in Yemen because he's on the death list. So he travels in secret to support 70 Christian families. The church, if you like, in Yemen. His brother and a friend were going to a baptismal service and they were caught and arrested and put in prison. And he says this, "For 2 months I hid in Yemen, fearing for my life as threats were made while trying to get them released. There were days when I was hopeful and strong and other times when I felt weak, guilty and depressed. It was during those dark times when I felt God's presence with me. Salah and other believers prayed and fasted for them. And thankfully, after 8 weeks, they were released. God did a miracle. He changed the heart of the person who initially wanted them dead. He helped them get out of jail. Afterwards, I realized why God caused this to happen. It was so that people in the prison could come to Jesus." And then he says this, "I could stay safe. I could stay out of Yemen. But he says this, if we sit at home and do nothing, we would be safe. But what kind of Christians would we be if we weren't risking for our life for others to know life? I could stay safe and not face any persecution. But what good would be my Christianity then? What good is my faith if I don't go out and deliver the message of God to others?" What a challenge to all of us. To be courageous in our outlook. Then he goes, "Your prayers, that's you and me, are crucial because they lead to miracles. That's how they survive." So the persecuted church, really tough, getting worse, but growing. Korea, Yemen, Somalia, there is a church that is growing in the soil, if you like, of persecution. They walk with Jesus, they believe what's in the book, and they obey it, like the example of Jiho giving away the little food that she had to her neighbours, even though she was probably hungry herself, because it says so in the book. So who do we pray for and how do we pray as we come to an end? Sanghwa said this about her father, who was a Christian, and she said that he never prayed for himself, and he never actually prayed for his own family. He thought he knew God looked after them. He knew, there's a verse, isn't there, that God knows our needs before we ask him. So he knew that God looked after his family, so he only ever prayed for other people. It was very difficult to talk about Jesus. She said he prayed for people for 5 or 6 years and then he would talk to them about Jesus. And what, again, an example of perseverance in prayer. And not focusing on ourselves. So much of our life in this world, in the West, isn't it? It's all about me. But it's a battle. It's a battle to pray. We all know that, isn't it? It's hard. We get distracted. Stuff happens. It's a battle. We are in a battle, and the battle is going to increase. Father Andrew, who started Open Doors, said, "Prayer is not a preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. And our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray." As we look to the future, whether we're talking about this country, whether we're talking about your church here, the key remains the same. Relationship, you've got to trust who you're working with. The word is the foundation. And prayer, pray, pray, pray. pray. If they need it, we need it. Just because we're not openly persecuted doesn't mean that we don't need it. So then what's our response? So we can be thankful, we have the freedom, we don't have to risk our lives like Salah. We can get informed, and I would recommend the cards that I put out on the thing. You can sign up, just get a magazine once every 2 months, get an email once a week or even once a month to help you pray, to get encouraged. You've got kids or grandkids, you get the new resources that come out this month so that you can pray with them. What privilege it is to walk alongside people that are willing to risk their life for Jesus. Doesn't matter how old we are, we can still do that. Anybody can do that. However young, however old, we can walk with them. So let's just pray as we finish. Jesus, we thank you for the freedom that we have. And Lord, we pray for those we talk about, whether North Korea or Salah in Yemen or wherever, Lord, Tirum in Nigeria. Lord, we just give them to you with all the sacrifices that they make to share your truth and your word. And Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to begin to understand what is important to you. Help us, Lord, forgive us, Jesus, that we are so casual, so self-centered in terms of our worship of you and our walk with you. Lord, we ask that you would renew our hearts. Help us to understand what you've given us, and to be able to share it at whatever the cost.
Yes, Lord.
So we just ask you to come and speak to our hearts, Lord.